प्रत्यात्मा उत्सव की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ बलराम सुभद्र महारानी प्रत्यात्म उत्सव की जय। साजिया कृष्ण चैतन्य श्री रथ क्री मदनय येन स जगतां चित्रं जागनातोऽपि विस्मितः। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द जय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द। May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who danced in front of the car of Sri Jagannath, be all glorified. By seeing his dancing, not only was the whole universe held in wonder, but Lord Jagannath himself was very much astonished. Jagannath Swami ki jai. So this Rath Yatra has different meanings through the different ages. So as the ages change, then the modes of worship also change. It's like when the Buddha was present here, Jagannath was actually worshipped as Buddha. They would come worshipping, this is the Buddha. And after that period, the Shakyas became very prominent, those who worship the power, the supreme power of this world. That became very prominent, influenced by different kings and their religious systems. At that time, the Shaktas were coming to see Jagannath Temple, but their main emphasis was on worshipping Subhadra, because she's the supreme power of the world. So, like this, it changes. The worship changes according to as the different times change, and depending on which king conquers of that part of the world and wants to influence his particular religion. So, so. Subhadra is also known as Ekanamsa. But at the present time, due to the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his revelations with Lord Jagannath on the cart and his conversation, then he is actually revealed the most prominent aspect of Jagannath today. How Lord Jagannath is approached and accepted today. This is by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now they're accepted as Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra are accepted as Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra, the two brothers and the sister whose father is Vasudev, mother is Devaki. Balaram was transferred to the womb of Rohini. And Subhadra is the daughter of Devaki. Vasudev had 18 wives, I think. He had 18 wives. And Devaki gave birth to 8 sons, in which Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared as the last one. Then after that, she gave birth to a daughter who was Subhadra Devi. The Supreme power and the supreme powerful Prabhupada is Krishna. Jagannath is the supreme powerful and Subhadra is the supreme power. And Prabhupada said actually we should receive the mercy of Subhadra first. Then you can receive the mercy of Balaram. Then when you receive the mercy of Balaram, you can receive the mercy of Jagannath. So, I just found out the birthday of Subhadra Devi in the month of Kartik, and it's 2 days after Govardhan Puja. Of course, the Snanyatra is also considered their birthday, because this was the day that in the Indradyumna Leela, he went to look for Neel Madhav, and then Jagannath became manifested at that time. So that was the installation day, Snan Purnima. So that also can be considered their birthdays. Otherwise, we celebrate their birthday on Sri Krishna Janmashtami, in the month of Bhadra, and Balaram Jayanti in the month of Jyeshtha, and now Subhadra. We can also observe that festival 2 days after Govardhan Puja. So the origin of this Ratha was actually in the heavenly planets. This heavenly rat, it was made from the bones of Dadichi. You read the story in Bhagavatam of Vritashora. Now, the demigods went to... where did they go to? Anyway, they went to Dadichi under the advice of the Brahmanas, I think. And they begged for his bones so they could make a thunderbolt, because he was such a strict brahmachari, his bones were harder than anything. So they wanted a thunderbolt to kill this demon Vritashura. So he said, okay, you can take my body. So he let them take, he left his body, and then he let them utilize it to make the thunderbolt. So other weapons were made also. Arjuna had a weapon. Lord Shiva's bow was one of the made from that bones of Dadichi. That's the bow that Lord Ramchandra broke. And a portion also made a rat in the heavenly planets. So apparently that was the first rat that Indradyumna Maharaj had put together. Now they're all made of wood. You go to Puri. From the Akshaya Tritiya, that's the day of Chandanyatra, that's the day they start to make the rat. So if you go there any time after that, you can see them all in the streets, all the carpenters building up these big rats. All made of wood. And after Rat Yatra, it's all dissembled, and that goes as firewood for cooking Jagannath's chapan bhog. So he gets a new rat every year. Everything is new. Not everything is the best for the Jagannath. So Jagannath's rat. Anybody know the name of Jagannath's rat? Huh? Nandi Ghosh. Nandi Ghosh. And Balaram's rat? Huh? Kaladvaja. Kaladvaja. Means a flag with the palm tree. You know, Balaram killed the demon Tenokasura and Krishna Balaram, they killed all those demons in the Talavan forest, the forest of palms. So he has that palm on his flag. So he's known as Taladwaj. On the flag or on the rat canopy? Anyway, and Subhadra? Yes, Devadalama. Devadalama. That's different names actually. Also Padma Dwaja, she has a lotus, Padma. So they make these rat names, stall the demigods, they call the Vayu, and all the demigods, and worship the demigods, and the demigods reside on that rat and then protect it during the 9 days or so of the Rath Yatra. And Nandi Ghosh, Jagannath's rat is 45 feet high. Very big. When you're there. Mahaprabhu said it looked like some Mount Meru, if you see that. Blooming like a big, huge mountain there. And Balaram's rat is 44 feet high. And it has 14 wheels. Krishna's chariot has 16 wheels. And the big wheels, about 7 feet tall, those wheels. And Subhadra is 43 feet tall. And she has 12 wheels on her chariot. So, there's a great festival. The deities are brought out. Paraha Bijay, Panaha Bijay. And thousands of gongs. Sounds like a thousand. Anyway, all on the rat, all the pandas, they're all up on the rat and they got these gongs and all in unison. Boom, 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 boom. Tumultuous sound with all these gongs and pulling the chariot. Then they have the chariot driver, this horse you see on the chariot. There's a chariot driver there with a whip. His name is Matili. Matili? He's Krishna's. Huh? Or the... Huh? Whose chariot? Huh? Whose chariot? Indra. Indra's chariot. Okay. Anyway, they have their horses. They've all got names of the horses, all the chariots, and they have a driver. And the... Must be. What's Krishna's chariot driver's name? Huh? Taruka. They have one man who's the driver with a big whip, and he's at the front. And I don't know what they're saying, but they have a big conversation. He shouts to the crowds, and all the crowds shout back, "Shall we go? Shall we go?" And he has his whip. There's a whole scene going there, and then he actually starts. And of course, then the king comes. He sweeps the around the top of the chariot, circumambulates the landing where Jagannath is with a broom. Then he goes around and sprinkles some water and some rakshata, I think, some rice and stuff like that. So Mahaprabhu was very happy when he saw the king take this menial task of sweeping the rat. Because there's another history there. When the king of Puri, he was going to marry another king's daughter, so... This princess... Well, the king found out that this king of Orisha He sweeps the in front with a broom. He's like an ordinary sweeper, he's sweeping there. So he sent a message back. He said, "I don't want my daughter to marry any street sweeper. She's a princess, thank you very much." So he insulted the king. The king became really angry. He just gathered his army and he rushed towards that other kingdom. But he got completely defeated. He came back again ashamed. And they said, Did you take permission from Jagannath to go to that battle? He said, "No, I was just angry. I just run. Go and take permission from Jagannath. That's why you lost." So he went and took permission from Jagannath to come defeat this king who had insulted him. So then he came. Jagannath appeared to him, or in some kind of message, and told him, "Yeah, you go ahead, take your army there. Don't worry, I'll be there." So again, he marched his army, and Krishna and Balaram were in front on horses. And then they stopped. They were very tired. There was one old lady selling yogurt. They said, "Give us all your yogurt. We are really thirsty and hungry." So they drank all the yogurt, ate all the yogurt. And she said, "You can give me my money." They said, "Well, we don't have any money. We forgot. We didn't bring any money." "Anyway, the king of Orissa is coming soon. You take this ring and you show it to this ring. Tell him that we took your yogurt and he should pay you." So when the king's party came, then the old lady said, "Well, the other Kshatriya, he gave me the ring and told me you should give me the money." So then the king was very happy. "Yes, Jagannath is already there, ahead of us." So then he went in the attack, and easily they were defeated. They saw one black and white Kshatriyas there. They were moving so fast, and they would everything was being, the army was being defeated very easily. So then he captured that king, and he captured the princess. "No, you come back to my kingdom." And he took it back. He said, "I'll insult this king now." So he went back to his ministers. He said, "Find a suitable street sweeper and marry this princess to her." And he was quite happy. "Take her away." So kings like this, they like to insult each other. Give as much trouble and pain as harassment as possible. When Krishna was disfiguring Rukmi, cutting his hair and beard, he was completely insulting him, cutting a bit of his hair here, there. Prabhupada says, this is Kshatriyas, they like to do that. They really like to insult their enemies, and when they get them and they get a chance, they really want to put them down and do anything to insult them. So he said, this is the nature of the Kshatriyas. Pride is one of the natures of Kshatriyas. You have to be proud to be a Kshatriya. So, yeah, then the Ratiyatra came, and then the king went up and he was sweeping the chariot, and the minister came up with this queen, this princess. He said, here is a suitable street sweeper for the hand of this princess. You should marry her. So, like this, the king was married to that other princess. Jagannath Shamiki. So for at the present time, then people are accepting. This is Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra from Vrindavan. Everybody knows. So this is actually now the deities we are worshipping according to the time and circumstance, because of how Mahaprabhu has influenced and revealed so much of the deity. Which we consider the original essence and form of Lord Jagannath's pastimes, It's actually Krishna. Krishna in Vrindavan. The pastime took place in Dwaraka, this Korma Rupa, when they were their limbs shrunk in their body like that. So Jagannath is a Kshatriya in Dwaraka, but the consciousness was in Vrindavan. So the form was manifested in Dwaraka. And also other stories, but the way Prabhupada tells it. It was manifested in Dwaraka. But the consciousness was Vrindavan because they were hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So consciousness is more important. So this is Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. In Vrindavan. And by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, he has revealed to us many topics, actual Siddhanta of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas through this Rath Yatra festival, and he's dancing in front of Lord Jagannath and he's having that whole conversation. This is very similar to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He speaks in the Navadi Bhava Taranga that the he said when Mahaprabhu came back after he took sannyas, he was going to go to Vrindavan. Somehow or another they tricked him and he came back to Navadvip. He said that Vidya Vyaschaspati's house, and he appeared there on the roof, and everybody said, Nimai's come back to Navadvip, and flopped there, and millions and millions to see him. He was on the roof and he gave darshan to everyone. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing in the Bhava Taranga that when will I see that, you know, the king of the sannyasis on the rooftop of Vyaschaspati's house. He said, he is my Lord, he is my Lord, the same Lord whom I worship. But just as the gopis, when they met Krishna at Kuruketra during the solar eclipse, and they were asking you, please, here you are dressed like a king with all the armory and pomp and the rattling of chariots, and you're our Krishna, same Krishna, but we want to see you on the bank of the Jamuna in your tribhangi form with your lip against, with your flute against your lips in the bright moonlight night. That's how we want to serve you. You're the same Krishna, but you're just as a king here. We want to see you as that. Could you, so you please kindly come back to Vrindavan. We want you to come back and place your feet again in Vrindavan, which is their heart. So this is the meaning of Rat. That Mahaprabhu was revealing how we as a Gaudiya follow this understanding that we're pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. Vrindavan Jabo, Vrindavan Jabo. Shastra says that the Rath should move slowly and the holy wheels should turn slowly. You consider the Jagannath there and many other personalities are there. The wheel should move slowly and with the, to the roar of Kirtan or praises to the Lord with great love and emotion. So to think of Jagannath's pleasure also, sometimes devotees get a little bit excited and want to rush with it. But that's the injunction. The wheel should turn slowly. So, so Mahaprabhu was revealing this sentiment that the gopis have for Krishna there. They're feeling separation from Krishna. They want Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. So this is what Mahaprabhu actually came to teach, is the highest principle, love in separation, Vipralamba Seva. And Mahaprabhu was actually absorbed in that, especially at the end of his life. So much absorbed that even his intimate disciples couldn't relate, or he couldn't relate to his intimate disciples. He was just so completely absorbed in this mood of separation. And, but like this, he was revealing, he was in the sentiment of Srimati Radharani. So all of this was recorded by Sri Damodar Maharaj in his diaries. So by that, then we have a glimpse of, you know, the actual attitude of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This was revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, otherwise we wouldn't really understand. So another very important aspect is revealing how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the original Krishna in Vrindavan. It says that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but then you see he does also leave. So why does he leave Vrindavan? And that is for the pleasure of his devotees. His pleasure is in Vrindavan, so he doesn't have to leave, therefore he doesn't take one footstep outside of Vrindavan, he's completely satisfied. So when he leaves, it's actually for the satisfaction of his devotees. So all these other manifestations of Vaikuntha and opulence, that is actually for his devotees' pleasure, who want to serve Krishna in a form like as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this isn't actually the original Krishna of Vrindavan, who he treats his mother. He sits on his mother's lap, he drinks the breast milk from his mother, he has his friends, they fight together, they play together, he has the gopis, they have very intimate feelings together. This is the original personality of Godhead, when the actual aspect of Godhead is forgotten. The two aspects of Bhagavan. So one is where the opulence is very prominent and it overpowers the sweetness. And the other aspect of Bhagavan is Krishna in Vrindavan, where his sweetness overpowers all the opulence. So devotees who are attracted to opulence and majesty and serving and being with the Lord in great, so they'll be attracted to the majesty of the Lord. So therefore we get all these different Vaikuntha worlds and different places where Krishna expands, so his devotees can serve him according to their desires. So he has unlimited forms and different varieties of expansions and manifestations. So devotees can serve him exactly according to their taste. But we should understand that Krishna's manifesting all these forms for the pleasure of his devotees. But he himself, his pleasure is in Vrindavan. So therefore the actual real devotees, Prabhupada has he uses the word unalloyed devotees. We have pure devotees and unalloyed devotees. So in Vaikuntha, they all have love of Godhead, they're all pure devotees. Unalloyed devotees means exclusively they worship Krishna. They want Krishna's pleasure only. Whatever Krishna desires, that is their pleasure, fulfilling Krishna's desire. And what does Krishna desire? He desires to be with his greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani. So this is Krishna's greatest pleasure, with Radharani and the Swakiya, Parakiya Ras. This is what the original personality of Godhead, he's famous for this. So we see the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following Rupa Goswami, they're adopting this attitude of simply assisting Radha and Krishna assisting specifically Radharani in her dealings with Krishna, her approaching Krishna, the separation of Krishna, the pastimes, because Radharani is one who gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. So this is the devotee, he wants Krishna's greatest pleasure. So it's not so much that his relationship with Krishna, it brings Krishna pleasure, but what is our individual relationship with Krishna compared to Srimati Radharani's relationship with Krishna? How much happiness, more happiness does Krishna get from Srimati Radharani than anyone else? So that's Krishna's greatest happiness. So the devotees, they want that happiness. So therefore all these intimate associates, it's always trying to unite Radha and Krishna. That is their desire. It's not for their own relationship with Krishna, enjoying their own relationship with Krishna. They want Krishna's pleasure, his greatest pleasure. So they simply to unite Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. So this is their engagement, their activity. And of course, by this activity, this is the greatest happiness. Because as part and parcel of Krishna, when you're engaged in satisfying the desire of Krishna, then that enjoyment is equal. So the So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing here, that this Krishna, he is that original personality of God. That Krishna, he is the original personality. He's not an incarnation of Vishnu. In the other, Krishna's appearing once in the day of Brahma on the 28th millennium. So that then Krishna reveals his original pastime. Vrindavan is there, Jasodananda, Radharani, Gopis, cowboys, cows. That is once in the day of Brahma on the 28th millennium, the 28th cycle of the four yugas, from the Dwapara Yuga. And then he performs his original pastime, Parikya Ras, which he is very famous for. All the other Dwapara Yugas, because Krishna's coming every Dwapara Yuga, all the other Dwapara Yugas in the day of Brahma, it's not the original Krishna that comes, but it's an expansion through Kiridakshaya Vishnu. So he's actually an avatar of Krishna. When you read in the dictionary, you look Krishna, mostly it says Krishna, an incarnation of Vishnu. So it's right in that aspect, because most of the time when Krishna is coming, he is an incarnation. But on that 28th millennium, that is the original Krishna. He's not coming through the agency of the Kiridakshaya Vishnu. He comes directly with his abode and shows that supreme Vrindavan pastime for a short period. So this original Krishna, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing in his pastimes with Lord Jagannath. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prem Tadayati Krishna Krishna Chaitanya. He's come to give everyone a taste of that. Krishna Prema Bhakti. What Krishna Prema? That Braja Bhakti. That's not available every Dwapara Yuga. Krishna Prema is available. You can get Krishna Prema in Vaikuntha. But this Braja Prema, that is something very, very special. That is exclusive for the original Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan. So this is the original personality that Mahaprabhu is presenting. He's given an opportunity to enter into the pastimes of Raja with that original personality of Godhead. So it's not very common, it's very uncommon. It's an awful long time, once in a day of Brahma. It's a very, very long time that's exhibited. But Krishna, sometimes just out of his causes mercy, he thinks, well, I haven't bestowed my mercy for such a long time that now it's time for the avatar. Let me go and perform my braja pastimes and bestow my mercy to all living entities. So it's a very rare thing. So this is expressed when Mahaprabhu is speaking with Jagannath, and of course they're criticizing Krishna. Radharani is criticizing Krishna. You know, how you sent Uddhava to teach us Gyan, you told you're all pervading everywhere, and then now you come, because this is when they met him at Kurukshetra. Now you're telling us to become yogis. You're telling, you just meditate upon me in your heart. Now you're treating us like all yogis. This is not proper for you, Krishna. So, then Krishna, he's replying. He said, no, my heart is always with you in Vrindavan. I'm crying every night. When I think of all you inhabitants of Vrindavan, and you cannot understand how unhappy this makes me. But he said, the only reason I'm here in Dwarka is because the members of my family, the Jadus, and the Vrishni dynasties, because they are accepting me as their relative, a part of their family, so they want me to be with them in Dwarka as part of their dynasty. So actually the only reason I'm there is to give them pleasure. Otherwise my heart is always with you in Vrindavan. So here he is revealing that why Krishna is in Dwarka or outside of it is simply for the pleasure of his devotees who want to serve him in that particular aspect. So this is the benefit of the significance of Ratiyatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's revealing. And this is the benefit that he's offering, that we can also adopt the same attitude by association with the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, coming from Rupa Goswami specifically. And they are teaching this attitude. Mahaprabhu is showing this proper attitude, which he has revealed in the Shikshastikam, especially the last verse of the Shikshastikam, to show that complete, you know, selfless, unalloyed devotion. Unalloyed devotion, as Prabhupada speaks, the unalloyed devotee is not interested in their pleasure at all. The very last thing they would want was to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. So they don't want to serve him in Mathura or Dwarka or any Vaikuntha planet. That's the very last thing they want, that Krishna should leave Vrindavan. Their only business is keep, serve Krishna in Vrindavan. So Srimati Radharani is expressing that to Lord Jagannath, that this Krishna, the way he treats me so badly sometimes, he misbehaves with another girl directly in front of me. And he makes me very angry, he makes me jealous, he makes me cry. Somehow or another he gets some pleasure from seeing me in this distressed situation, state. Because in love affairs, any new feature from the beloved, it's everything about the person you love. When you see a new feature, it's great. It's another feature of love. So when Krishna likes to see her sometimes in a distressed condition, he teases her and things like that. And she said, somehow or another, he gets some pleasure from this. So if he gets pleasure from my displeasure, then my displeasure becomes my greatest pleasure, because it pleases Krishna. So this is the selfless attitude that Srimati Radharani is expressing there. So Mahaprabhu came, he's given this opportunity. Otherwise, it would not be available. CD. As calm as everybody wants, simply to satisfy their senses, enjoy themselves. And even the spiritualists, transcendentalists, there's four kinds of liberation: living on the same planet as the Lord, having the same bodily features as the Lord, you can get four arms or two arms, enjoying the opulence of the spiritual planets of Vaikuntha. So even the transcendentalists, you see that the tendency to want to enjoy with Krishna on that planet. And they go there, of course, that their desires are fulfilled, so their pure devotees there, they're serving Krishna there. But you see that Rupa Goswami says the Gaudiyas, they're not very much interested in these different kinds of liberation, because it's more motivated by, I like to be with Krishna in this way. I'd like to live on this planet. I'd be happy if I had four arms as well. So there's some kind of enjoyment there. It's with Krishna and it's pure. Because you want to enjoy with Krishna. But anyway, then we can see, from that we can see the exalted state of the Krishna and the Vrajavasis. And we can see how far we are removed from that consciousness. The material world is presenting, what Maya is presenting, objects of sense gratification at every moment. Of course, we don't have to listen to the dictates of the mind. We can shout right back. Guru says, always think of Krishna. You've heard that, have you heard? Man mana bhavamat bhakto, Krishna saying, always remember me. So you have a choice. Maya is always presenting herself for enjoyment, but the living entity has a choice at every moment. It's not that Maya forces you to sense gratification. You make a choice to accept Maya. Everybody makes a choice at every moment. Maya is always presenting us, but she's not forcing you. She doesn't do that. She simply presents the objects. You make the choice to embrace the object. So you see how this world is working, how tightly bound up we are. So we can make a comparison with ourselves, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. See how much enjoying propensity is there in our heart. But anyway, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and association with these unalloyed devotees, then we can, by their mercy, adopt this proper attitude that Mahaprabhu has come to reveal and come to give. Anyway, Jagannath is very, very merciful. He delivers everyone. If you just see the chariot, he'll deliver you. And everybody, they know that. Following that chariot, you don't have to take another birth. If you go to Rathyatra, sometimes you see the lepers who have a leprosy. They come for that festival, they come and you see them trying to move behind the chariot. Most of them, a lot of them can't even walk, and they kind of, it's a materialist pathetic sight, but I guess if you're in that condition whole life, you certainly wouldn't want to take another birth, you go back to Vaikuntha. But they have that faith that if they follow the route, then they won't take another material body again. So even the lepers, Jagannath's merciful even to the lepers, because he's out on the very high, his eyes are everywhere, he sees everything. But generally the deity shouldn't see unpleasant things, he shouldn't see dogs or cats, even low-class animals. But somehow or another, when Jagannath comes out, he becomes known as Patita Pavana, so even the lowest of the low, Jagannath will put his glance on everyone like that. He will deliver everyone. He's very, very merciful. And when Malati Mataji bought that deity of Jagannath first time to Prabhupada, she bought him one Indian store in America. She said, "What's his doll, Prabhupada?" He said, "Oh, it's Jagannath. Jagannath has come." There was another one there, a yellow one and a white one. She said, "Yeah, there's a big box of them." So then she got the other two. And Prabhupada said, "Jagannath has come to us, so we should now, we should observe his festival." So then they started the Rathyatra because of this. Prabhupada took it as direct mercy of Lord Jagannath to introduce Jagannath and the festivals of Rathyatra. So he is very merciful. There's a that leela of how Parvati wanted to get the prasad of Jagannath, Lord Shiva. Narada got the prasad, Shiva got the prasad, and Parvati never got the prasad. She was very angry, so that whole history is in the Chaitanya Mangala, I think. But anyway, one of the benedictions when Vishnu came and calmed her down a little bit, that he said, "Don't worry, later I will appear and you'll get my prasadama first, and then anyone, because Parvati said that if I get an opportunity to get prasad, I'll make sure everybody gets it, even the dogs and the jackals, everyone will be able to get the mercy. I won't keep it like you ate it everything yourself. I'll distribute." So Jagannath, Vishnu said, "To fulfill that desire, I will manifest later on." So he comes as Lord Jagannath. And now Birmala Devi, another form, she gets all the prasadam first. Then it's distributed as Mahamaha prasadam. And another Purana says that also by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes his message all over the world of worship of Jagannath, and Jagannath's prasadam is also available all over the world now. So this is a fact everywhere now. We have Rathyatras and we distribute so much Mahaprasad. So everyone's getting this Mahaprasad, the very merciful aspect of Lord Jagannath. So, Mahaprasad is all Vindi, Namo Brahmana Vaishnava. Mahaprasad is name of Govinda, they are identical with Krishna. So they have an implicit faith in this, the Puri Pandas. They have implicit faith in the potency of Mahaprasad, how it's non-different to Jagannath. In fact, this is how you worship Lord Jagannath in Puri, by honouring his Mahaprasadam. There was some devotees took the prasad. They were staying in a hotel there in Puri, and this one devotee said they ordered Mahaprasad from temple, so the pandits came and brought all the Mahaprasad. Devotees were sitting in the line, and they had all their plates there, and they were. The pandas come, but no one was serving the prasadam, and there was an argument going on with the pandas and some devotees, and everyone's going, come on, we're hungry, serve the prasadam, what's happening? Pandas said, we're not serving prasadam here. I said, why not? He said, because you've already got some food on your plate. I said, no, this is not food, this is Mahaprasad from Bhakti Kutia. Is it Radha Damana? Radha Damana? Anyway, in Bhakti Kutia, Bhakti Nathakos, ISKCON temple there. No, it's Radha and Krishna Prasadam from ISKCON temple, where we put a little. They said, this is not Prasadam. There's only one Prasad in Puri, that's Lord Jagannath. We're not going to put Jagannath Prasad with that other food there. We're so chaste. Lord Jagannath Prasad, they did. Finally, I think they did it after a while, after much argument. So that's their faith and their devotion to Jagannath, so much faith they have for honoring the Mahaprasada. Of course, we follow the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we read in the Chaitanya Tamrita and other places that Mahaprabhu would often take a variety of prasadam. People will bring him different prasad from different places. So Mahaprabhu would eat Jagannath's prasad along with other prasad. But the pandas, they were very strict about prasad. I was there one time, I was standing by the lion's gate, and I asked Panda, you can give me some prasad. So I gave him some money as he could. He went inside the temple to bring me some prasad. And there was another two devotees there. Puri devotees, not pandas. But they were just, they were looking at us, and they were talking these sahibs. They had a couple of sahibs there, and the malachas, whatever they were saying, they were that kind of. And then the panda came and gave me the pot of prasadam. With him, Jiva Gaja, I put that. I ate a little bit off, and I immediately walked to those two people. I said, here, Jagannath Mahaprasad. They didn't. Even though they were laughing at us and saying we were malechas or something like that, they didn't hesitate to take that Mahaprasad that we had already bitten them. I'd bitten from. But that's Jagannath's favorite sweet, that Jiva Gaja, another long Jagannath's tongue, we call it. Jiva means tongue. There was a devotee, he was actually a Muslim. But he was a great devotee of Jagannath. And one day his house caught on fire and he lost everything. His house, his wife, his four children, everything was finished. So that night he said to him, I have nothing, no use living. Tomorrow I'll jump in the ocean. I won't come back. Then Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream and he said, don't commit suicide, that's not good. He said, you can make some sweets for me. He said, but I don't know how to make sweets. He said, anyway, you go to the sweet shop and ask. If they have some work for you, I'll tell you later. So anyway, he went down and he was asking the sweet shops, you need help? Someone said, yeah, we need some help, you can help. So he was just helping out, doing things. And after some time, Jagannath appeared. He said, I want you to make this sweet called Jiva Gaja. You get some moida and you roll it out, fold it over, you keep folding it and rolling, then you cook it in sugar juice. And so he started to make these, and then Jagannath said, okay, he said, now you bring some into the temple for me. He said, I can't go in the temple, they won't let me in. He said, no, just bring them in, it'll be okay. So he made a nice big basket of these Shiva Gajra and put a cloth on top of me. Put on his head and he went into the temple. And immediately the guards said, hey, you can't come in, you're a Muslim. He said, Lord Jagannath asked me to come and bring these sweets for him. No, you're lying. How you can say that Lord Jagannath, no Muslim can come in the temple? He said, no, it's Jagannath's desire. What do you know about it? They started to beat him and everything. They pushed him over. He fell down, the basket flew out, and all the Jiva Gajas flew everywhere. And suddenly a black dog came and he picked up the Jiva Gajra in his mouth. Went into the temple. Fire, there's a dog in it. All the pandas are chasing. And he's running all around the different complex of Jagannath temple. And all the pandas are chasing him. Then he goes right into the Garbhagriha, the temple of Lord Jagannath and Balaram. And they're all chasing him. They get in there and there's no dog. And then they see all the Gajas at the feet of Lord Jagannath. So he must want these Jiva Gajra. So then they allowed that person to continue making that sweet. He couldn't go in the temple, but every day he would make these Jiva Gajra and offer. The pandas would take it and offer it to Jagannath. So it's a very famous sweet, you see. Anywhere in Puri you can get it. So Mahaprasad. He said that Jagannath, he likes it so much, it's sweet, that he doesn't even wait for it to be offered. Wherever it's cooked, he likes it. His favorite sweet. Jagannath Swami Ki. I got some mercy from Lord Jagannath also. It wasn't so sweet at the time. But I went to the, I didn't know what it was, it's Rath Yatra festival. But I had a little pamphlet, so I went to Jagannath Puri. I wasn't devoted in. And so I got, then I saw the big temple, nice temple, so I'm walking in the temple, the big gate there, and all of a sudden, I'm about 10 foot back, and angry policeman, you really charged me and pushed me back. You can't come in the temple. You can't come in the temple. You're not a Hindu. I was really angry, I was completely shocked, you know, I didn't know where I was. I said, you think God is only in the brown skin and the painted face? He's not in the heart of anyone else just because he got the white skin? I was really. But afterwards I took it as Jagannath's mercy. He said that if you get some punishment sometimes, it's a good sign that the Lord accepts you. In Vrindavan, if a person goes to Vrindavan to spend his life there, become a Babaji or something like that, when he's new, the kids throw stones at him. The habit they have, they will throw stones. He's a newcomer, so they throw stones. So that's considered very good, a good sign that Krishna's going to allow you to do Dharma Seva. You can live in the Dharma. It's a good sign. So I took it as a good sign when Jagannath come and beat me up a little bit. Because immediately after that, then I met the devotees there. They were also there, the devotees. So I took it as Jagannath's mercy, and then he gave me a little punishment. But then he gave me, he led me to meet the devotees. So that was his great blessing. Jagannath Swami Ki, Jagannath Ratyatra Mahotsava Ki. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, samaveda bhakti pindi ki jai, mithai go premanandi. Thank you. Any comment? Question? Yes, sir. What? Oh, yeah. It's coming from King Indrajumna was Satyayuga. So right from Satyayuga. Actually, Lord Brahma lives for 100 years. And the first 50 years of his life, Nilmadhava was the predominating deity of the universe. And the second half of his life, Jagannath is the predominating deity. So today is the birthday of Lord Brahma, his 50th birthday. So we understand from this Shatayuga then, it was the end of the reign of Nilmadhava, and Jagannath manifested his form for the rest of the day of Brahma. Life of Brahma. So a very, very long time. Thank you.
You said that Jagannath, Krishna comes to Vrindavan because it's the greatest pleasure for him to be in Vrindavan with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And out of desire to please his family members, he stays outside. But don't they know that he wants to be in Vrindavan, and he suffers so much in separation with the gopis and with Vrindavan? Do they think about their pleasure, not about Krishna's pleasure?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I think it's in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. There's one point, I haven't read the book, but I heard something to do with that. If we tell Krishna, if we ask him about Vrindavan, something like, if he gets reminded, then he's going to want to go back. So you don't say anything that's going to remind him about Vrindavan. Otherwise, we want him here in Dwarka. He's our family member. We're enjoying these wonderful relationships with him. But if he starts hearing something about Vrindavan, he may just run off. So yeah, they want to keep him in Dwarka. Krishna's the supreme enjoyer. And he manifests the form with all the specific qualities that is needed for that particular incarnation, that form. So the original Krishna has all qualities. But the incarnations, they're just manifested with those qualities that is needed for the pastime. So Krishna enjoys wherever he is with his devotees. It's not that he's not enjoying anything.
It's natural that he likes to be with his devotees, but does it mean that those devotees who are in Dwaraka or in Mathura, that they think about their pleasure first, not about Krishna's pleasure?
See, when they're there, he's there, they're relative and they're enjoying pastimes, and so then they're serving, they're thinking of his pleasure there. To get there from here, sometimes we're motivated, we want to go there, we can enjoy that. But when they get there, their motivation is purified because they're there, Krishna's there, and the relationship they want is there. So they're there serving and pleasing Krishna. Desire becomes purified, but to get there we may have a desire to go to enjoy that, all the opulences, and it gets purified when you get there.
Krishna, thank you very much for wonderful class. When we are in front of Jagannathji, what should be our mode of prayer? In front of Jagannathji,
what should be your prayers? Mahaprabhu, many, many prayers. I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, Sutra, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, or Brahmana. I identify myself only as a servant of the servant of the Master Guru. So he's expressing himself as, here is Krishna, and I'm not his bodily identification, I am identifying myself as as eternal servant of the Master of the Gopis, Krishna. So he's expressing himself, and Namo Brahmanaya Devayago Brahmana Tyocha. Another famous prayer he would chant. Om Marvo Marvo Vachi Marvo Marvo Giriti. He would, many old traditional prayers and many Sanskrit prayers he would offer. Bhakti is something that's constantly moving. It's not one thing. I'm just going to be like this. This is my mood for Lord Jagannath and it's fixed. No, it's constantly fluctuating. This is the nature of bhakti. At Shiva Sangam, Mahaprabhu is there. They're doing their kirtan. So sometimes Mahaprabhu is in ecstasy of love of Godhead. And then at other times he falls on the floor and he holds the feet of the devotees. I have no love for Krishna, please. The Vaishnavas should give me their blessings. And then he sits on the throne and Srivash is on the deity, on the altar where the deities are. I am he. So it's constantly in flux. Sometimes he's feeling separation, sometimes he's feeling. So this is nature of bhakti, it's not just one thing. Shantaras. Shantaras is just one thing. Oh, God is great, you know. People like to live on the planet of the Lord in Shantaras. They know he's here and they're in his presence and it's fantastic. But there's no real attempt for service, no reciprocation of service. But, so there's no real bhakti there. But some devotees like to be like that. But bhakti means there has to be a relationship, an interaction between the two. So. So it's constantly in flux from moment one moment to the next.
Actually, we are not that level to feel. I'm not that level to feel separation from Krishna. Externally, I can do that, but how? What should I do?
You go to Mangalarti, it's a different mood. You go to Sandhyati, it's a different mood. Mangalarti is more brave, stream, you know. Remembering Guru, it's the blood of gravity there. Sandhyati, you're going wild with this. So you go along with it, whatever is happening, you go along with it. You're reading something in, and it's, you feel something, it strikes you, something from the book of philosophy. So while that's present, that feeling, you research more, and because it won't stay long, it'll move. And when the new thing comes, you get into that, and you keep trying to keep more in the present. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, modes of material nature chapter, one who doesn't hate attachment, he doesn't hate illumination, attachment, and delusion. When they are present, nor does he long for them when they've gone. So he doesn't hate them when they're present, and he doesn't long for them when they've gone. So he's talking about three modes of material nature: enlightenment is goodness, and attachment is compassion, and delusion is the darkness. So they're constantly in flux like that. So we don't try to hang on to it when it's moving on. It was nice at the time, we had some realization. And at the time you think, well, I could keep like this forever, it'd be fantastic, but it just doesn't. It moves on in time, and if we're chasing after it, then we leave the present. If we're chasing after the past. So it comes and it goes, so you just, you act according to the time and circumstance.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I have the same question as the Mataji here about the residents of Dwarka seeking their own pleasure before Krishna's. So I was thinking about that. I was going to ask you, but I'm thinking it's hard to imagine that a resident of Dwarka is at least a pure devotee and more. Residing directly in Dwarka, that they would seek their own pleasure first. So then I thought of Mother Yashoda. It is said that she could see Krishna as the source of all universes in his mouth. She saw everything. She knew at that point that Krishna was not really her son. But she couldn't relate to it. So that knowledge didn't really sink in. She dismissed it. Because her bhav, can you tell me if that's right or wrong, I'm just sharing that thought. Her bhav is to be the mother. So in this way I was thinking that the residents of Dwarka, I would be comfortable to think that they just cannot relate with Krishna being with the gopis or preferring to be anywhere else, that somehow he wants to be with them. And somehow only they can help, only they can please him most. What do you think?
No, it's everyone's relationship with Krishna is perfect. There's nothing beyond that. There's nothing beyond that. In the story of Shyamananda, when he was association with Jiva Goswami and others, he was attracted to the Madhurya Rasa, and his guru was in Shaka Rasa. When he started to exhibit symptoms in Madhurya Rasa, his guru became angry with him and he started to beat him with a stick, heavy. He said, I can present you the greatest thing. Shaka Rasa is nothing beyond this. There's nothing can, it's, I'm, this is what I'm giving you and you're accepting the Madhurya Rasa. Because the person in that any relationship that is complete, they're completely satisfied in that relationship. It's perfect. There's nothing beyond it. Mother just said there's nothing beyond that. She can't even imagine Krishna's. You see the different marks on Krishna's body and kumkum and some mascara and things. Different symptoms, but she's just thinking, no, my. It doesn't even enter her head that, you know, it's a conjugal affair is going on. It's, oh, my Krishna. Oh, it must have come from Govardhan then playing with the minerals there. Those scratches on Krishna's body that come when he's resting with his friends. She doesn't imagine. She only imagines it's such a child. Anyway, I didn't say that they considered their pleasure first. I said from here, the material world, it's attractive. If I go there, I'll get the same form of the Lord. I'll get on the same planet as the Lord, I enjoy the same opulence as the Lord. So that's nice. You're going to get out of the material world, the forms of liberation. But when you've got it, then the desire is not there. So then they just engage in the relationship.
Hare Krishna. Guruji, this is a little different question. Like, now we came here for Sunday. So, like, initially when we came, so that time I was very enthusiastic to enter into temple or taking darshan and all those things. But afterwards that familiarity builds the thing. So, like, how should we be, how should we keep our consciousness always that Lord, He is there in front of us, and how should we keep our prayerful mood always?
Yeah, the temple is the house of the Lord. It's governed by the Panchvatiki rules. So as soon as we enter the temple, then we make a sound, ring the bell, give us the dandavat. You should have no shirt on. And here is the Lord. We worship. He's accepting worship from the Panchvatiki vidhi. So there's so many offenses to be avoided in deity worship. Don't talk before the deity. Don't cry before the deity. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't. Food of awe and reverence. So we have to maintain it. When you're dancing in ecstasy, it's something else. But that's what's given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's taught us to do this in the temple, so we don't naturally we get pleasure. And we're not artificially trying to suppress pleasure. I shouldn't dance because it's a Panchvatiki temple, but in other temples you may be criticized, other Vaishnava temples. It may not be so acceptable that you're dancing in front of the deity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to do this, so it's, we can do it, and naturally become joyful. But generally then, otherwise it's always a respectful, of course you dance respectfully also, but it's always a respectful attitude in front of the deity. Otherwise, as you said, familiarity will breed contempt. Especially for pujaris, they're dealing with the deity directly. Therefore, when they enter the deity, before they enter the deity room, they offer their obeisances to their spiritual master, and they beg permission to enter as a servant, the assistant of the spiritual master, to assist him in serving the deity. So then we have to try to keep our consciousness in it. We are servant of the servant of the servant. You read all the rules and regulations more than you can, and know what to avoid, then you won't become content. Okay, thank you very much. Jagannath Rathyatra Mahotsavaki, Nidai Go Kremanandi, Hai Hai Go.